Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, The Mythos Mysteries, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 3 event podcasts with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back to Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, where improvisers who've never roleplayed before journey into the world of Dungeons and Dragons. I am the Grand Wizard Bukake, your host. Our heroes are finding their bearings in hell. Quinny and Reginald flew away from the Shredders but are stuck bluffing their way past border guards. Butthole and Moonhammer are throwing down with a Hydra, and Moss and Juniper merged into a new Super Juniper before falling into the arena next to Butthole. What the hell will happen now? Find out next on Dumb Dumbs and Dragons.
There may be a realm where a spindly balloon person and the cloaked one-eyed halfling riding him is a standard health and safety inspection. This is not that world. Tyler, you're gonna have to give me a big old deception check there, pal, because no.
How does a dirty 20 sound?
Pretty good. Okay. They look to the foreperson, and she just kind of scratches her massive head. Like, you can tell that, like, there is a lot of person stuffed into this jumpsuit. Sort of scratches her head and goes, shit, okay. I guess it's one of those surprise inspections. Oh, we should have known. Our Lord does like to keep a careful eye on paperwork disposal. And we have lost a not insignificant amount of limbs to the Threshers of Light. Okay. Gentlemen, I'll just guide you over to the landing pad over here. Clear some space. Come on. They're health and safety, damn it. Roll out the red carpet. And immediately see someone just, like, take a red marker and start scribbling as fast as they can on pieces of paper to make them red, and, like, placing one and then scribbling more. And they're all, like, waving you down with Thresher wands. What do you do?
Rachel's going to look to Quinny and be like, you realize we have an army coming, like, right over that hill, right? Like, we cannot stay here.
Yeah, no, I'm not trying to stop. Trying not to get attacked by more of these people. Okay. Hey, is that a pile of paper over there up to code? I just point, like, over at a massive pile of papers.
Tom, I would like to reach back and use my cape to extinguish the flaming head of my goblin warhammer. And cast a flame sphere into that pile of paper so it catches on fire.
Yep. So the four person like quickly like snaps her fingers and just like clearly a very like excitable junior sorter goes, oh, I'll check. Runs over and he immediately like whips out like a piece of measuring tape. And he's like, you know, just leaning in very close. He says, well, the height is about up to code. And then the pile just bursts into flames, lighting his face and body on fire. He starts running around like a stunt guy in a flame suit and just like collapses into the back of one of the trucks. The paper inside bursts into flames. The four person just kind of slowly turns on her heel and says, yeah, no, it is not up to code, sir.
Yeah, we're going to have to dock you for this one. We're going to have to... We're gonna have to write this one up.
Oh, geez. I only had one payment left on my filing cabinet condo. Look, boys, can you turn a blind eye to this? Just do me a solid here.
Well, you got to do us a solid. You got to chase down that ball of fire. I'm like tapping Reginald's head, being like, make it go.
Yeah, so he's just sending it running along the stuff into the distance. It could go 30 feet around.
Are you sending it back towards the people who are chasing you? Or sending it in a different direction?
I think probably just horizontally. I think he'd like to make a wall of fire between himself and the oncoming army behind him so we could fly away from it.
And she's like, oh, okie dokie. Or just like, go. And meanwhile, the guy's like screaming and running and burning. And the two of you just float on, as Modest Mouse would say, as Timmy the intern burns to death and blinks out of existence. And the sorters admittedly did dispose of the paper they were supposed to, just a lot faster and more violently than anyone had anticipated.
Okay, to be clear though, I didn't intend the intern thing. I thought he was, I didn't know he was going to move so fast.
No, like, yeah, no, I get it.
But he was in hell, right? What do you think he'd done that was so bad that he deserved to have his soul destroyed?
I don't want to, let's not talk about him anymore ever again.
No, I need to make me feel okay.
Oh my God, I hate that I already know his name is Timmy and that he's an intern. Hell.
Well, we all know a lot of things. Tell me what crimes he committed so I don't have to feel bad.
Oh my God. Arson. So it's an ironic thing. You feel better?
I do. I actually do. I feel a lot better. But tell me two other crimes he committed. I think I need three and I'm going to get through this. Arson, you deserved it.
I feel like the rule of threes that you're referring to, which is the rule of threes to help you justify your actions and feel
exactly.
better.
Exactly.
I feel like it's not necessary when the first one is arson.
No,
and he died in fire.
But that means he died in fire twice. I mean, what did he do to deserve it?
Oh my God!
Destroyed his soul.
He scalped some baseball tickets.
Fuck him. That's awful.
Yeah, I parked a chariot in a handicapped spot.
There we go. Boom. Don't deserve to have a soul anymore. I feel a lot better. I was worried that you would, you know, take this really lightly and not help me, but I'm so glad that you helped.
Quinny's eyes just roll up into the back of his head and like fall down his esophagus and like come out his shoes.
And Mickey the Rat picks them up and scurries back up and just sticks them back in your skull.
Yeah.
You only have one.
I've got an enchanted eye behind the eye patch.
That's right. Yeah. Baba Yaga's bag is just like, which is out now. What? Yeah. Oh, okay. Boy.
Should I land? Because technically we can walk faster than this.
I kind of like the faux authority it's providing us.
Okay. Yeah. I got about 20 minutes left. So.
Over people that spot us. Do you think you're stealthier up here or on the floor?
Oh, I'm bad either way, man. That's not going to be good. So.
Let's start in the air then, so that at least we kind of have that buffer.
All right, we got another 20 minutes of health and safety, and then we'll have to walk around.
Yeah.
As you float, you start to reach the edge of the city. You should think of this as a poorly populated video game city, just for visual sake.
Yeah.
So, like, Cyberpunk on a previous generation console, or, like, I don't know, any of those games that tried to do it on like sort of the PS2-ish era where they're like, or like N64, like, we actually don't have enough power for this, but look, there's one NPC, like, it's a vibrant city. Yeah. And you're like,
look at the draw distance on this hellish city.
Yeah. It's just a foot from your face. lots of pop-up. It's just Superman 64 is specifically what I'm thinking of. Anyway, so you don't see anyone. It is incredibly sparse. And Quinny, this is strange for you, even on the outskirts of the city, because Pandemonium was full and bustling. It was a full metropolis. Whereas this is a ghost town. As with the previous area, just, you know, single pieces of paper kind of like floating and blowing down the alleys and the roads. very much in like a apocalypse scenario movie where there's just always paper, but rather than newspapers, it's, you know, 8.5 by 11.
It's paperwork. Yeah.
Paperwork. You can see that all of the outlying buildings are variations on filing cabinets and just kind of other organizational tools, very utilitarian. There's no embellishment anywhere. It's just very, very functional. As you begin to drift in, you do start to see some remnants of the pandemonium that you knew. If you live in a city like Toronto that's constantly trying to put condos on top of historical buildings to like tick the box of like, we preserve the historical building, 80 stories of garbage, like gut the building, just keep the facade. It seems to be that kind of deal where you can see some of the old bits of pandemonium, but they've clearly been absorbed by and integrated into these weird filing cabinet towers. That said, it does give you some hope because some of them do seem to still be open, which means that peeps on the jeeps might still be in operation. You start to get your bearings as you drift through the empty streets, you think you're a few blocks away, basically, at this point. So I guess my question to you is, do you want to go straight there, or do you want to kind of take a little recce and see what's going on elsewhere?
I mean, I figure anything we learn by walking around can be told to us straight from the horse's mouth if we can find Peeves McFadden.
Sure. Sounds good.
From the horse's mouth. Is that a thing? I think it is.
The witch?
My brain went for a quick set of like, is that a phrase straight from the horse's mouth?
Oh, yeah, 100% is. just like dino lemons, you know, just a common turn of phrase that everyone uses. Don't worry about it. You like tug on the side of Reginald's beard to like get him to turn. And
seems so mean.
You're Quinny Brown Bear. Is there a different way you'd be doing it?
I don't know. I had to be nice to him to save my fucking mind and soul for...
All right. So what nice way do you tell him to turn?
Tap him on the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Left shoulder, right shoulder. It's that easy.
Great. All right. Cool. I believe you.
So he'll turn. I mean, it's weird because he's holding you like a baby. But the taps he kind of likes. Feels gentle in the breeze. So he'll turn and be like, okay, we got to go find this future. So I know your world's better than my world, but is everybody like so good they get to go to heaven? Because this place is a fucking ghost town.
Yeah, it wasn't like this before. Place was called Pandemonium. Demons, devils, damned souls. It was packed. It was a proper city.
Do you think Manny just like committed soul genocide down here and wiped everybody out? Like, does that seem like his MO?
Manny uses people, so I'm worried they weren't just killed. My darkest deep down gut reaction is this city's population was used to fuel something. Just something awful.
This may be a weird thing, but Baba Yaga's starting to sound like she might be a bit of a hero in this scenario.
Yeah, I'm not going to foist the title of hero on anyone in this story right now. Everyone's kind of doing things for their selfish reasons. She wants us to kill her son.
Okay, but like, if someone had to be a hero.
If you need this, yes, Baba Yaga is the hero of this story.
No. I was going to argue, are we the heroes?
Excuse me. I'm not a hero, Reginald.
But I mean, you're the lost king of a land, and you have taken in a bunch of stray people, including me, some sort of weird monster from another dimension, and then you've taught me how to love, and now you've changed for the better.
Hang
and now
a we're second, completing. Wait, I did.
And now we're completing an arc to destroy an ultimate evil that you had succumbed to in the past, but now realize is a problem. Isn't that like if you're looking at the hero's journey? That seems pretty stereotypical.
Well, then I'll concede I'm a stereotype, but I still don't feel tremendously heroic. I think let's just say we're on a path of redemption here. How's that? Does that feel
But if you're a stereotypical hero, does that make me your sidekick? I don't really know if I want to be a sidekick. Like, I think that's what he's saying.
The conversation just continues to drift.
He's now like, he's passing like where I wanted him to turn. So now I am yanking his beard to turn because the fucker was going on about hero arcs.
Yeah. Also, I hope you've enjoyed our secret guest star, Dan Harmon, as Reginald Tingler. So thanks, Dan. See you later. Goodbye. Meanwhile, back in the arena, we've got Moonhammer up to the elbow in Hydra. We've got Juniper having just landed her shiny new combat wheelchair alongside Butthole. It's a tearful reunion cut short by the fearsome cries of Ferdinand the Righteous, fallen god of Hydras. So, in terms of initiative order, we are at the top of the round with Butthole.
Tom, rarely do I want to say things that don't be convenient for the party, but I don't think Ferdinand went last round.
He didn't. There is a reason for that that we will find out this round.
We're going to pay a price, which is worse.
But thank you for calling attention to it. There's just that charging feeling, you know, there's just some kind of like,
yeah, it's a charged atmosphere
kind of. Know, just like he's glowing. And at first he thought it was the fire and the fart fire, but maybe there's some internal fire too. But you know, you get punched, someone punches a hole in your chest and hangs around. It's time to start, you know, blowing the big powers. Right. So, yes, but thank you. I appreciate it. If it hadn't been that, I would, there'd be egg on my face and he'd be getting two attacks. So top of the round, Butthole.
Dum-dums and Dice would like to welcome you to the grim darkness of the 41st millennium. I am Inquisitor Caveat Ventus, keeper of the Inquisition's Black Library, and I'm releasing my report on the Valentine Heresy. It's an actual play podcast set in the Genesis adaptation of Warhammer 40,000's Dark Heresy RPG. Join Ryan LaPlante as Inquisitor Lucius Valentine, and Laura Elizabeth and Tyler Hewitt as hive-bred siblings Lyric and Alto, as this unlikely trio try to save the Emperor from a cabal of mysterious enemies in a series created by Games Master Tom McGee. Can these unlikely heroes survive in a galaxy where there is only war? Find out in the first episode of Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy. Available now.
All right. Well, I think Butthole, he's done his hot snakes, but he doesn't want to risk hot snaking his own goddess, which is, you know, deadly and dangerous for us all. So I think what Butthole will do is look to Juniper and say, "Well, it's hammer time," and just kind of take off sprinting. So what he will basically do is sprint forwards and then swinging his hammer two-handed. He's bringing his hammer down at the same moment a spiritual hammer appears next to him and joins him on the blow, because that's a bonus action, so I can do that. And I will burn one of my uses of hammer hands, so I get to attack twice.
Awesome. I forget, so we're calling this hammer, this is the Moon Hammer, right? Like, did we just go completely blatant on this, or do you have another different name for it?
This was written as the Hammer and Sickle.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Was this right. Weapon.
Yeah.
The Moon Hammer was Farthole's hammer, which is being carried by Reginald.
Yep.
All right. So knowing I'm hitting in the flank and there is a hammer in the guts of this monster, do I have advantage, Tom?
Yeah, man.
Sick.
Honestly, I'd be shocked if you didn't at this point.
Oh man, I rolled 2 8s, which brings me to a total of 16.
Keep in mind you have Bless.
Oh, I do have Bless, and which I would use that.
You should use it.
That brings me to a dirty 20.
There you go. Yes, that'll hit.
Awesome. And my second attack is a nat 20.
Ooh.
Nice. So
that's fun. And then the hammer. Does a magical hammer get advantage? It feels like it shouldn't, but I don't know.
No, I don't think
so. No, that doesn't make sense. I agree. But it's still a 23.
I mean, it didn't need it, so...
Yeah, it's doing fine. Okay, so I'll do the not 20 damages first. So for the hammer, it does... Seven. It does 16 radiant damage. I think it's radiant. I got 16 damage written down, but everything else is radiant, so probably radiant.
Well, it's not undead, so it doesn't matter, but the 16 definitely matters.
Beautiful. And then Butthole's other strike does 14 damage for the regular one. And then for the nat 20, I roll damage twice, correct?
That is correct.
And that one will do 15 damage.
You are mad at this fucking Hydra, sir. That is that is rough. It's good to be fighting alongside your goddess. Bless really came in handy because you were one shy of its AC. So,
yay!
Good work, positive reinforcement. You win again.
There's never a bad thing about religion ever, Butthole says to himself as he yells.
Completely forgetting all of the villainous ways Moonhammer has been used in this story. Yeah. Great. Bunch of damage, solid hits. Bringing us to Juniper.
Okay. So, Tom, I just want to ask, because as I understand it, I have everything available to me, like attack wise with a combat wheelchair, mm-hmm. and I have my revolver.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically all I have.
You will need to obtain a sword of some sort.
Okay. So I have Old West Moss's like weapons.
Yeah. Yeah. So
because, I have like the maul. Okay.
Yeah. So because she came through via portal, through a tear, she's actually got all of her shit. Unfortunately, your stuff is still on your body that you are unaware of what has happened to, but I can guarantee you're not going to be pleased to find out where it is now. But nevertheless, the good news is unlike Alan's gear, a lot of Juniper's gear is very findable as opposed to like a weird one-off weapon from a named enemy. It's like, oh yeah, like the blade of walls, like yeah, you can pick that up again. Like those exist.
Okay, cool. And I'm using Juniper stats.
Yes.
Okay. All right, so
no, I fully understand. So basically, I think the way to think of it, Laura, is you can use for the revolver, since mm-hmm. it is a mounted gun on the chair itself, just use Juniper's range stats for javelins for the gun. Like, it's not like it's a completely different skill set you're picking up. I also don't want to like shortchange your character since you merged.
I don't have javelins.
You have arranged something, don't you?
Oh, I have a short bow.
Yeah, so use the short bow.
And a crossbow. Oh, I have a crossbow.
There you go. So, like, you can use those those stats for your attacks. Again, we're playing a little bit of Calvin Ball here, but it's because you've absorbed Moss's memories, as like Old West Moss's memories as well. I should point out, sorry, I neglected this during our little cinematic earlier. Both of you lived through each other's like glimpses of each other's lives. So you're mm-hmm. pretty much up to speed on who each other are. So we can skip a couple steps there. It's a mechanic I'm stealing from Dan Slott's Superior Spider-Man arc where Doc Ock had to like live all of Peter Parker's memories before he could become Spider-Man. I'm like, damn, man, that sucks for you. And now you understand why great power comes with great responsibility. So similarly, you have enough access. Like it's not like you've each lived each other's full lives, but there's been mm-hmm. enough of a clip show that you don't have to play a lot of like, well, tell me about Old West, you say? You're up to speed.
Okay, cool. In that case, I think I'm gonna like basically shake my head to be like, okay, no time to like rejoice over Butthole being mm-hmm. here and not like, you know, into oblivion that I blame myself for. So I think it's just like fucking, I get my two attacks. Mm-hmm. So gonna get that revolver. I'm not gonna aim at a head. That feels too risky. Let's just aim at the center of the thing.
The lemon.
The lemon. I'm just gonna aim at the lemon.
Not the satchels.
And if I miss, hopefully it can be somewhat of a distraction.
You can aim for the lemon. And if I miss, hopefully it'll hit Moonhammer. It's fine.
So basically I'll be like, basically shoot. And as soon as the gun goes off, I'm just going to dash and attack that thing and just kind of ram into it.
Okay. So one attack is the gun. One attack is the ram.
Yeah.
Cool. Also, Laura, just for RP purposes, anytime you want to yell a line as Old West Moss, you just have access to that. So,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, just keep in mind if it's like if you're doing something particularly Old Westy, feel free to jump in with that. Because again, I think unlike your standard personas, she is really riding shotgun with you.
I will voice
her from time to time, just as we always tend to do with like characters. But yeah, feel free to slip into the twang when and where you want to.
Yeah, all your one-liners can be Western one-liners.
That's what I'm hoping for. There's a snake in my boot. Reach for the skies. Someone's poisoned the water hole. You know, all the classics.
Yeah. All of those, yes. All right.
she shoots her gun and yells, someone's poisoned the water hole. Charges him with the wheelchair.
Look, I'm just saying, Woody from Toy Story got it right. You always got to check the watering hole.
Pulps ahead with her mace. You're my favorite deputy. Some really weird shit.
Oh my god, and I am the sheriff. It's so perfect. Okay. That is, so I got an 18 to hit with the revolver. So that'll hit. You want me to give is damage type gonna matter?
It will not.
It'll be piercing if it's a gun, so it's probably piercing if it's a bow.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's going to take me just a minute to like, get my head around looking between the two sheets.
You're basically a hacker with multiple screens right now.
Yeah.
But screens made of paper. So I'm kind of old-timey hacker.
So we got six. So six piercing damage, which, you know, isn't nothing. But at the very least, maybe at like, be like, ouch, enough of a distraction for me to be like, all right, take this fucker, and then just like wheel into it. That's my Old West phrase. Take this fucker.
I like that.
Love it. Yeah.
So that's 20 total to hit plus that's nice. 9 damage.
9 damage. All right, great.
Yeah. And it's gonna be some sort of probably bludgeoning or something.
It's you. So it's bludgeoning as you slam into into the Hydra. You feel it's bulk shift, but it's anchored by Moonhammer, so there's just kind of a squelching as it rumbles back and forth.
Moonhanker.
Yay. That brings us to Ferdinand. So I gotta roll concentration to make sure that he can actually do this. But that's good, so he's got it. He is hecka mad at y'all. He is going to just crank his heads down and he's going to breathe acid on the two of you who are three of you actually who are locked in close combat. So what I need from all of you, please, is a constitution save.
And because we're all in close combat, y'all can add +3 to your saving throw. Aura of protection.
Damn, Juniper, welcome back. So Alyssa, on your sheet there will be a list of saving throws and I believe the bottom left.
Yep.
So you're gonna roll a d20 and then add your constitution save score as acid rains down on you,
and an extra 3 so I got 11.
Yep.
Already know is a fail.
Yeah.
So I rolled a 14 and my constitution is 7.
Oh, yes, you're golden.
Plus 10. So she got a 24.
Okay. Yep. Good.
I got a 14.
14 teen? All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so for Juniper and Butthole, you'll each take 17 points of damage.
Ouch!
And Alyssa, you are going to take 8 points of damage.
So is that... That's the Like I have the hit points.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you'll just subtract 8 from your hit point total. I find personally, because I'm terrible at math, I tend to just run it on my calculator. But whatever you want to do to track it is dope. Yeah. As acid begins to just like spray down on you, you can see green kind of pulsing through the veins that are now fairly visible. Unfortunately for you. And
is that a spell?
It was an ability.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Butthole, who's like now burning with acid, is like still hitting with the hammer, is just going like, why do I wish this was fire? as he hits it.
At which point it is going to use its other delicious, little legendary trick it's got to start biting. So because it has four heads, it gets four little bitey guy attacks. So we're going to say one on each of you, and then I'll roll to see who gets. And Butthole, you'll get you'll get two on you.
I'm the only one who heard him before. Moon Ember's stuck in him, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Juniper also like shot him in charge. Everyone's done some damage, so he's mad at all of you. All of you have really ruined his day a little bit. Alyssa, what is your armor class, please? Or your AC?
15.
15? All right, so that will hit you. Ryan, what's yours?
20.
Ooh, well, I got a crit, so one definitely goes through, the other does not. And what's Juniper's?
19. I miss my shield.
Yeah, that's fair. and that will hit you as well.
Oh, yikes.
Don't forget my extra one.
I did. One of them missed. But the other was a critical. So like,
oh, no.
Like you're getting hit twice.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. So that is 11 points. I lied. That is a further 17 points of damage to all three of you. And Ryan, you will take an additional... 6.
So I'm taking 23 damage?
Yep. Cool. Nom 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 nom. And you just hear the announcer be like, oh, that is one pissed off Hydra. I would be too if someone was rummaging around in me like I was some kind of monstrous pinata. I don't know, folks. This might be the end of the run of our standing champion Moonhammer, and to think she's so close to God Prom. Oh well, anything can happen in the arena. Moonhammer. You have been sprayed with acid and bit by a giant douchebag. Your hammer is deep in his guts. So you want to try and anchor it in his rib cage and yank it out. Is that correct?
Yeah. I was debating either doing that or just punching my other fist in and then using my feet to kind of like pull them.
Oh, up. I see. Okay. All right. Well, go ahead and roll one attack with your free hammer hand. And let's see how that goes. And then we can figure out where to go from there. Okay. I do like the idea that you're just like sitting there being like, this isn't quite the spot. It's like you're trying to find where to like anchor something on drywall. You're just like punching holes trying to find the right spot. Yeah. All right. Great.
Here?
Okay. Yeah. So, Alyssa, you're going to have advantage because you've got a bunch of friends helping you fight. So, its full attention isn't on you anymore. So, the good news is, I completely forgot that I could have rerolled all those things to hit you, but too late now. So, you're going to roll each, roll your attack, roll it twice, and pick the best one.
16 is the best one.
Okay, and then plus 9, so you are well and truly through. So you just fucking punch that other hammer hand through. Go ahead and roll your damage, please. So that's 1d12 plus 5.
Oh, sorry, one second.
Yep, no worries.
So it's 12 plus 5, 17.
Whew. Nice. Man, you've got hot dice on the d12s, doing 11 then 12. Jesus. All right. He's looking pretty rough. So your other hand is through. You still got some action left on you. You pull your legs up and plant them against his chest. What I'm going to want from you, please, is we're going to make this an athletics check to just push and pull back. So again, on your skills in the bottom left there, you should have a number for athletics. I think you're trained in it. So I think it's like plus 9 or something stupid.
In skills?
Yeah.
I've got a plus 5.
Plus five. Okay. So you start pulling with all of your might. All the veins go taut. You look like the Rock in Pain and Gain. Just like a massive like bundle of steroids and muscles. And you just start pulling back. So go ahead. I'm going to give you advantage. And if you want to fly into a rage, you'll gain an additional plus three.
Yeah, I'll fly into a rage.
Great. So you'll be adding eight.
Do you yell anything when you grow the most enraged? What pushes you over that limit?
What pushes me over the limit?
Yeah. What do you yell? Like, what's your phrase for like going over that line into rage?
Moonhammer smash. Nice.
Bunny Hops is just like writing it down, being like, right, got to keep this one. All right. So go ahead and roll. So you get to roll your D20 twice, and then you're going to be adding eight to the highest.
15 plus eight.
Awesome. As you yell, the word smash just kind of echoes throughout the arena. You just feel that glorious feeling that truly, there's just nothing else in the world that feels like when a rib cage just like kind of sloshes loose of the things around it. And with your mighty scream, you kind of like do a power slam, but rather than the full body, it's just rib cage up and over your head as you arc back, you shatter the rib cage on the ground behind you. It sprays guts everywhere. And Ferdinand's heads all turn inward. And they do that thing where like the camera's inside the belly looking out of the hole, and all four heads kind of look in and look out in shock. And then it just falls forward, doing a full Buster Keaton like house collapse bit, but onto Butthole. So like the full body just like hits the ground around him, and Butthole, you find yourself standing inside your insidra, if you will. You're just standing inside the Hydra's guts. Do you keep hitting it with your hammer, or are you good?
I think he just like slings the hammer and dusts his hands off and goes, well, it's time to look after these wounds. just like in a little protective hut, he'll like take out some bandages and try to look after himself.
Amazing. Juniper, you feel pretty great about this this combat wheelchair. This thing's gonna work out all right. Yeah. Also nice to have a gun.
Just for fun, I just want to crush all the heads.
Yeah.
Can I just do that? Like, it's down.
This is a lady who knows that necromancers are a problem. Just
like, it's just like one at a time and crush
It's just like a car driving over a pumpkin. It's just like.
Yeah. slimy yet satisfying.
There you go.
Not the right movie, but I don't
know. No, I like it though. I like that Old West Moss has just become a weird composite of Disney quotes. I think that can take us a long way. as you hit the last one, the entire body blinks out of existence and you see Butthole just at the end of like embarrassingly, like I'm imagining this like when you have to like try and take a shower in a sink where you're just like, okay, feeling fresh and no one saw anything. It's just like the entire body's gone and you're just standing there like patching your wounds up with, I don't know, your hammer between your legs or something. Like you're just desperately trying to, what pose do we find you in?
I think, yeah, it's he's bent over trying to patch like his one leg, but he does have the hammer between his legs, but it looks like a witch's broom. So it vaguely looks like a hammer is coming out of his ass from like the right angle.
Yeah. So just the symbol of moon hammer.
And he's focusing enough that his eyes are crossed. So like, if you were to take a still frame of this image, you could believe someone snuck up and just rammed a warhammer up his butt. Cause it would all math out.
Right.
And then he just like has that moment of looking around and realizing it's happening, and then like stands up and drops the hammer, and it makes too much noise and makes it really clear he's not cool. And he's like, moon hammer, that's pretty funny, am I right? So what happens now?
A booming voice answers, saying, well, folks, that brings us to the end of this tournament. In a twist surprising perhaps no one, entrant number three has won this region's re-deification games. Everyone, Moonhammer will be going to God Prom, where she will have a chance to be re-deified. It's going to be a great one. You're not going to want to miss it. Also, as is standard amongst the rules of this tournament, let's also give it up for her official prom coaches, the guy who's got a hammer up his butt and the lady who squished all the heads. Let's give him a hand. She's going to have two coaches, highly irregular, but very exciting. All right. Also, yeah. My condolences to the people of the Hydra Plains, who will no longer have a god.
Yeah, Juniper just like now. Has a moment of like realizing what has just happened and is horrified.
At which point,
I think Butthole's just amped. He's like, woo, net gain.
Yeah, I was going to say, at which point Butthole grabs your hand and Moonhammer's hammer hand and like raises them to the sky.
Yeah, and he puts Bunny Hops on his shoulders. So there's just like a weird flaming skull rabbit at the top of
the Bunny Hops is like, and I helped. And no one hears him above the thunderous applause and boos. People had money on all sorts of different things. But truly, it has been a successful first endeavor. Although, Butthole, you are acutely aware that the question of your proposal remains unanswered in the air, but now really doesn't seem like the time now, does it? That seems more like an end of arc question to me.
That's true. Now is the time for saying hello. And he'll turn and just kiss Juniper full on the mouth, tongue finding all the
teeth. Greywater style. Yeah.
Doing the ritual greeting and being like, it is so good to see you, Juniper. It is so good. I missed you. I hope everything's going well. I have questions, but first I've got to say hi to Moonhammer. Moonhammer, can you lean down so I can do the formal kissing?
Absolutely not.
Bunny Hops, does Moonhammer have a reason why she shouldn't do the kissing? Because I'm pretty sure it's a part of our whole thing, and I've done it for a long time.
He looks at his scrolls and says, according to my records, that was more of a Greywater Syndicate mercenary thing than a Moonhammer specific thing. Her greetings generally involve considerably more violence, but perhaps she'll make an exception. That truly is up to her. I'm good for smooching, though. And he just bares his weird skull bunny teeth at you.
Oh, I'll kiss that bunny. So yeah, right. Butthole's right
just
in there.
Make out with the Ghost Rider. It's amazing.
Yeah, he'll kiss nice. Anything. That's how you say hello. This isn't a thing.
As you remove it, he's like he quickly puts away the official document. He pulls out like a thick bound journal with like loose leaf pages sticking out of it. He opens it and he's like, "Dear diary, it finally happened, and it was as magical as the traveling plays told me it would be." And then he closes it quickly and puts it away because he's got a job to do. He can't spend all day journaling. But the three of you and Bunny Hops are quickly escorted away from the arena, which is slowly just turning to sand around you. Like the piles are just kind of sloshing away as the arena is reset. You hear again cheers and boos and people kind of money changing hands. There's a sense of kind of like at the end of like if you've been to live sports, kind of that feeling after the game is done where everyone's like, oh, well, we were kind of under the spell of how great this was, and now we're all just pissed off that there's people everywhere and we can't get to our cars. So it's just a lot of like shuffling and people kind of being glum about how much money they spent and everything else. As victors, you are sort of ushered through sort of a grand classic gladiator style entryway, kind of down a side hallway. The interior guts of the arena are much like any arena, just kind of a very utilitarian build. That said, it is hell, so there's skulls everywhere, like it's a fucking 40K building. You are kind of coming down. You've got like a very enthusiastic sort of like Emily or Annan type, so just like a helpful assistant being like, hey, that was really great performance, Moonhammer, huge fan. I've been a fan of yours. I've got the t-shirt, and it's Moonhammer, you did not license t-shirts, so this might be a problem. Alyssa, what do you think the unlicensed Moonhammer t-shirt looks like?
It has it's red. It has the two hammers, like how I have the tattoo on my back. It has two crossed hammers on the back. It says Moonhammer is fucking awesome.
Nice. Very important question for you. Did they spell Moonhammer right? Or is it with like a U and an umlaut? Is there something weird? Is there an apostrophe? Or is it just like they got it right? They know the brand.
Just Moonhammer is awesome.
Nice. All right.
Amazing. So she's like, my name is Zatch. I will be your coordinator for the upcoming God prom. Very excited you get to go. Honestly, I've never been allowed in, but they seem really fun and great food, great booze, great drugs, fantastic time. There's always, you know, the murder and the backstabbing, but like mostly fantastic time. You're going to love it. And oh, wait, who are, sorry, no one's supposed to be down here. As you look to where Zatch is looking, you see a number of figures kind of blocking your way towards the locker rooms. Juniper and Moonhammer, to you, these are completely unfamiliar figures. Like, you have no idea who these fuckers are. But Butthole, your stomach drops a bit. Because as you look, you recognize the god of donkeys, the god of gnome abs, the god of finger puppets. And all of them are armed to the teeth. And the god of donkeys steps forward and goes, "Hee-haw, we've got words with this one. If I'm not mistaken, you're the Forsaken."
"Okay, but you kind of are, because I'm Butthole Farch, so we can just be friends. I don't know if you've met Moonhammer."
And with that, they attack.
This episode of Dumb-Dumbs and Dragons features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at TheRyanLaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Laura Elizabeth at EL Hamstring on Twitter, our special guest, and our DM Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and Dumb-Dumbs and Dragons logo is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. Our theme songs are "And Now for That Massive Coronary" and "Skipping Through the Orchestra Pit Part 1 by Peter Gresser, and our ad music is "No Control" and "Chiefs" by Jazzar, J-A-H ZZAR, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. And tune in next week for more Dum Dums and Dragons. Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, Charles Grams, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord of Bradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Chet Awesome Laser, Jordan Neesmith, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Taryn Hefner, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Christian Mendez, Anna Zed, Fire on Friendly, Logan, Great Dane, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.